And Lord, I lay before you our time of teaching as we press into your word. As we press in to your word, I ask that you bring forth the revelation for this hour, that you bring forth the teaching, the training that we need to prepare us for the days ahead. There is a deep refining taking place. And for those who submit themselves to that refining, the revelation that will be imparted, the anointing, the mantle, all that will be imparted into their lives because they've allowed you to refine us, Lord God. Because we've allowed you to refine us. It'll be unmatched in the body of Christ. So as we study your word, I ask that you bring forth that which we need. Bring forth an understanding. Bring forth revelation. Bring forth insight. Bring forth all that your word is designed to bring forth. Do it, Lord, in us. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you that you have blessed us with your word. I thank you that you've blessed us with your spirit to teach us, to train us, to prepare us. And as humans, as we fumble along, your spirit is there to help us through, develop and mature us. To the mature sons and daughters of God that you're calling forth in this hour. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. In your precious and holy name. Amen. The refining has begun. The refining process is not easy. What does refining do? It gets out the impurities. You know, we've got refining companies all over the world, and their goal is to get out impurities and produce a product that is usable, that is safe, we hope. When we go for gold and silver, you know, that product that we get is refined. It's heated up, and depending on the level of refining that's done on it, for example, gold, the greater the refining process, the hotter the fire, the purer the product. And if you have a product that is so refined, you can actually take hold of that piece of gold and press into it and make an imprint with your fingernail. Because it's so refined, it doesn't actually harden. So many of the impurities have been removed. It doesn't harden. If we were strong enough, we could press into that gold with our thumb and get a fingerprint. I think, Lord, that's what you are trying to do in each of us. You were trying to refine us. You were trying to clean out of us the impurities so that when you press into us, we bear your fingerprint. We're so malleable that you can make your mark in our lives. In this condition, we find ourselves, I mean, it's a hard process to get to. I think we're all in process. We find ourselves walking through the fire. We find ourselves facing difficulties. Absolutely. But there's something to be done through this process. And even in the midst of fires, even in the midst of going through unimaginable difficulties. You know, God doesn't say, I'm going to make your life miserable so I can use you. We say, use me. Leave your mark on my life. I lay myself before you to be refined by you. And when we do this, we have given him permission to take hold of our lives, to work out of us the things that inhibit a pure relationship with him, things that would prevent him from being able to press into us and leave his mark upon our lives. We give him permission for this. There are different levels of Christians. There are those that will get saved. They may pray every day or read their Bible every day, and they're just going to live their life in that place of, you know, contentment where they're at. And the depth of their relationship with God is based on that contentment. There's those that will press into God. There's those that will, I want more of you. I want deeper things. I want the mysteries. The mysteries of who you are, the revelation of who you are. I want your fingerprint to rest upon me, Lord. And when we avail ourselves to this, he strives to honor that request. We've been studying Romans for some time. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been studying what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. What it means to be a member of the body of Christ, an active member of the body of Christ. Last week we studied about the gifts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the grace that is extended to us to function in that capacity. He will never ask us to do that which he has not given us the grace to do. He's never going to ask a prophet to be a prophet without giving them the grace to be a prophet. He's never going to ask a teacher to be and to go out and teach without giving them the grace to do so. A grace is what we need to accomplish that which God has called us to accomplish. So in Romans 12, Paul's talking about the many members and the different offices that we will fill as a body of Christ. And we learned some things about the Spirit of God. We learned some things about his plans and his purposes and how he will use us. In 1 Peter 4, we saw that each member receives a special gift to employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Speaking as one who is giving the utterances of God, serving in the strength that God provides. All of this is to be done unto the glory of God. All of this is to be done unto the glory of God. Prophets are not to be prophets to gain a profit. Prophets are prophets because they release the word of the Lord to the glory of God, to the edification of the body of Christ. That's the purpose. They are the mouthpiece of God. Intercessors are the voice of God to the church. Because they seek his face. They spend time in the prayer closet. They spend time shutting out everything else and pressing into God for his will, his plans, his purposes. Their spirits stay in tune to the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, we learn that our gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Why? To unite the body of Christ into one body. Our gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit of God, meant to unite the body of Christ into one body. God has us in a place of refining right now. And at the end of this path, he is wanting a body of Christ that is united to come forth. Why is it so important for the body of Christ to be united? And I'm not talking about the unity movement. Please, let's just be clear about that. Because when the body of Christ functions in unity, the body of Christ, remember, when Jesus came and he died and he rose again, he visited many, he visited the disciples, he appeared to many of the saints here on earth, and then he ascended into heaven and he told them, he go and wait. For the gift. Go and wait for the release of my spirit. We all know the story in Acts. The disciples go into the upper room and they wait. And they seek the face of God. And they pray, and they pray, and they await the gift that's been promised to them by Jesus, their Lord. And at that appointed moment, the Holy Spirit is released into their lives. It's manifested through the speaking of tongues, but the Holy Spirit is released in them. So we have Jesus who walked with them and gave them an example of how to live a Spirit-filled life, how to live a life of perfection, not sinning, loving your brother, loving the sinner, fulfilling the law. Now we have the impartation of the Holy Spirit into our lives, which gives us that which we need to fulfill our call in the body of Christ, to fulfill our function in the body of Christ. He's not going to call us to do things and not give us the ability to fulfill it. That's not the type of God he is. And in this hour, he is calling us to do greater things than we've ever seen before. Why? Because it's not going to be done in our own strength. It's not going to be done in our own power. But if we are not empty vessels ready to be used by him, refined and used by him, his Spirit cannot flow through us. Because if we have not emptied ourselves out of who we are, our garbage, our impurities, if we have not allowed him to do that work in us, as his Spirit moves through, we're going to grab hold of things. We're going to grab hold of the credit. The enemy is going to jump on that, and he's going to start filling us up with pride. And what does that do? That causes a kink in the body of Christ. It affects the body of Christ as a whole. We are called to walk in unity. In Ephesians, we studied Ephesians 4, but I'd like us to look briefly at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 1. And I'm going to read 1 through 9. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The mysteries of God. This word mystery is anything that's hidden. Anything that is hidden. It's a mystery. It's a secret of which initiation is necessary. What is the initiation? Salvation. If we are going to understand the mysteries of God, we have to know God. We have to know Jesus as our Savior. And we have to have the impartation of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Because the revelation that comes forth through that impartation is beyond man's grasp. We cannot understand the mysteries of God without the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, this is the counsel of God, once hidden but now revealed in the gospel. The Christian revelation, particular truths or details of the Christian revelation, that's what the mysteries of God are. Revelation. So often I sit down and I read the word, I study the word, and I say, Lord, please give me revelation into your word. What did Mom tell us to do? Pray for discernment, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, revelation. These are things we are to pray for every single day. The more we press in, the more he reveals the secrets of the kingdom of God. In the Bible, mystery is not something that's unknowable. Rather, it's what can only be known through revelation. Why? Because God reveals it to us. Why does he do this? Does he do it for us personally? Yeah. But why else? Verse 9 of chapter 3 of Ephesians. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It's released in Jesus Christ. To all men, verse 10, to the intent now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, so in verse 10, to the intent means in order that now, which is present, unto the principalities and powers or authority in heavenly places might be known by the church to the manifold wisdom of God. The purpose of him releasing the mysteries of God into his children who have pressed in is to release the manifold presence of God, the manifold wisdom of God. He imparts his gifts. He imparts his revelation. He imparts all that he imparts in each of us is for one purpose, and that is to release God into the people of the earth, to release an understanding of who God is, an understanding of what God has done for us. An understanding of who Jesus is, what his salvation means, who the Holy Spirit is, and what that means in each of our lives. When we allow him to do the work in our lives and he imparts into us the mysteries of who he is, it's for the glory and the edification of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. This is what we are called to do. Paul says, now I want to remind you, he's talking about releasing the hidden things of God. He's talking about releasing the mysteries of who God is. He's talking about getting that message out, getting the truth out to the Gentiles in this hour while he's sitting in prison. in Rome. That's what he's doing. He is a prisoner in Rome, and he says in chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." He's a prisoner in Rome, but Paul never saw him as a prisoner, himself as a prisoner of man. He saw himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said, whether I'm hungry, it doesn't matter. If I'm full, it doesn't matter. If I'm cold, it doesn't matter. If I've got a place to sleep, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that I am serving Jesus Christ to the fullness of what he's called me to do. He lived his life to press into God. Paul was created to receive the revelation and to release the revelation of God, of the intimacy of God. I want to remind you that up until the New Testament, there was not intimate relationship with God. We had a high priest who went into the Holy of Holies once a year after going through quite a lot of cleansing. And remember, we learned in our covenant study, if he didn't get it right, if the cleansing and the purification, if there was sin in his life, he could not come to God in a place of holiness and represent the people and stand in the presence of God. He had bells on his robe. And if they stopped ringing, that foot that was tied around his ankle, they dragged him out. They took that rope and they dragged him out of the Holy of Holies. Jesus came that we might enter the Holy of Holies ourselves. He is our covering. He is our cleansing. So now that Jesus has come, here we enter the New Testament, and we have brand new terms. We have spiritual, which we didn't see until Acts, when the Holy Spirit came in the upper room. We have church, and Paul has been created to release into the church, also known as the body of Christ, the revelation of the intimacies of God, so that each person who before would go to their high priest, and my goodness, Paul was sent to the Gentiles, he didn't even go to the high priest, and help them take God, a being they couldn't possibly approach, God, their creator, and bring him into a place of actual relationship. Paul's writings are all about bringing forth relationship between man and God. Intimate, tender, I love you so much, I sent my son to die for you relationship. Because he wanted us to stop seeing God with our head and start experiencing him with our hearts, in our spirits, experience God. That's what Paul was created to do, release the intimacies, the love of God, the tenderness of God. In the Old Testament, what do we see? We see a God of war. When the people, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, of the Jews' God, they saw God as a God of war. When the Jews went into the land of milk and honey, they cleansed the land of the unbelievable sin that was taking place. Man had no fear of God. None whatsoever in that day. And I'm not talking about the Jews. I'm talking about those in the land. They were sacrificing their children to their gods. They were serving Satan, is what they were doing. And as we read the Old Testament, we read about the prophets, we read about the judgment of God, and until you really come to know Him intimately, experience Him, it's hard to even see the love of God through the Old Testament. Sure, in Psalms, it's all kinds of love. Song of Solomon, all kinds of love. All kinds of intimacy. But until we take God from our heads to our hearts, opening up our hearts to really experience the depth of the love of God, who would take a piece of Himself and send Him down here to die for us, and not only die quick and painless, that's not the death He experienced. It's a torturous death. And only after much, much suffering. Until we can take the God that's in our heads and take Him and put Him in our hearts and embrace the love of God, we cannot walk in the fullness of what we've been created to walk in. We go to our church buildings, we sit in our pews, we get our scripture read, we get a couple of cute little anecdotes, and we walk out, and that's the little piece of God that most quote-unquote Christians are experiencing today. But what God is about to release is a move of God that will take Him from the God of our heads to the God of our hearts, where He so indwells us with His presence that all we want to do is live for Him. We crave holiness because He is holy. We crave the purity of God because He is pure. We crave to extend the hand of fellowship to those in need because that's what He did. If we cannot demonstrate the love of God to the fullness that He demonstrated it to us, how can those outside our world, outside our little bubble even, see who He is and get saved? He is calling us to go deeper. He is calling us to be refined. He is calling us to rise up out of this and walk in the fullness. Enter into a place in Him where the fear of man, the fear of the elements, dissipates. Because what you are there to do is reflect God. Demonstrate the power and authority of God. The enemy thinks he has nearly won as darkness sweeps across our earth. Darkness seems to pervade every single nook and cranny. A heaviness at times seems to be rolling across the earth, and the enemy thinks he's won. But the power of the living God is about to arise in the name of Jesus. And he's about to flow across this earth and release his power in such a way that men will fall to their knees, whether they accept him or not. They will bow the knee to the living God. And we've got to be ready to carry the authority of the living God. We have to be ready to walk in the authority he's given us. We have to be refined, purified, walking in the love of God. Because that's what we are called to do. Ephesians 4:1 says, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. What have you been called to do? What have you been called to do? Are you walking in a manner worthy of the call? This word called, this is a divine calling, an invitation, a divine invitation to embrace salvation in the kingdom of God. Are you walking worthy of the call to salvation? To walk. He says, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. That word to walk is to regulate one's life, to conduct ourselves worthy, becoming or fitting, having a worth that matches the call. And what is the call? To salvation. Anything we do above and beyond that is only to edify the body. To encourage, to develop, to bring the body of Christ along. Are we walking in a manner that represents the call to salvation? Are we living a life of a person who understands what Jesus did for us? Who understands that the purpose of that was to bring forth intimacy with God, relationship with God? We talked about the bridal preparation a couple of weeks ago, the intimacy between husband and wife. The beauty of it. Are we walking in a manner worthy of a call to salvation? He could not release the Holy Spirit into this earth until his blood was shed for our sins. His blood paved the path for the release of the Holy Spirit. And what has the enemy sought to do? Because the Holy Spirit gives us strength. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. We function through the gifts of the Spirit only because the Holy Spirit's in us. And what has the enemy sought to do? Shut the Holy Spirit out of the church. Because the enemy knows the power of the living God is in the Holy Spirit. And the enemy knows the true, the blood of Christ. We have the impartation of the Holy Spirit. He knows the power and the authority that the children of God will walk in, and he must bow the knee to that authority. If we could grab hold of a true understanding of what we've been called to walk, where we've been called to walk, how we've been called to walk, it would change everything we did. Every day would be lived differently. We are to walk in the fullness of the calling. The new breed of believers on the other side, they will understand. God will no longer be in their head. He will be in their hearts, and he will be burning with a fire so great they won't be able to contain it. Their lives will reflect the fingerprint of God upon them. Everything they do, what they say, how they walk, how they interact with their brother, with their sister, with the other members of the body of Christ, will reflect the depth of understanding of what he did, who he is. Melchizedek is coming. That's what's coming. And everything that we set aside to be able to carry that mantle will pale in comparison to living in the fullness of what he's called us to walk in, worthy. Of the call to salvation. Everything we do is to be done remembering to preserve the unity of the Spirit, everything we do. Is to bring us into a place of maturity. Ephesians 4:7, he says, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That word according, and we studied it before, means to bring down from above. It's like bringing heaven in earth, God's will on earth. God's will as it is in heaven on earth. So to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And what was his gift? The gift of his life and the release of the Spirit. And 9 through 13 goes on to share some of those practical applications of those gifts. But what is the purpose of it? 14 through 16 is about the maturity, so that we won't be children anymore, washed to and fro, falling victim to every doctrine that comes our way, holding on to the truth. The Bible says even the elect could fall away. Think about that. If we don't allow ourselves to be matured and strive for maturity in God, we will be deceived. Verse 14, And everything before that, this word as a result means so then, therefore. I've said all of this to you so that you understand the purpose of the body of Christ, of understanding grace, of understanding what unity in the faith means, is so that you are no longer children. Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Maturity. You know, we think, wow, I've been saved for 10 years. Shouldn't I be mature yet? I've been saved for 30 years. Shouldn't I have reached maturity yet? Even Fred, who has walked with the Lord for decades, says he's got a long way to go. But I think when we come to an understanding that we have a long way to go, it drives us to press in. It drives us to press in, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Yesterday I was praying and the Lord gave me a vision. It gave me a vision of the function of, and the flow of the body. And I saw he was standing on the earth, and a river was flowing out from his center. And this river would pour out across the earth. Now the earth was just nearly blackened with that. Burned like a forest, really. But this river began to pour out across the earth from his belly. And it would go out across the earth, and it would come around, because it was him standing on the earth. So, you know, he was bigger than the earth. It was like us standing on a beach ball or something. And he began to, this river flowed out of him around the earth, and then it would come back to him and flow out. So there was this circle of this water. It would flow through him and out, back into him and out, back into him and out. And as this was taking place, life was growing in the earth. Life, this blackened earth, started to produce life. Vegetation was growing. Animals were flourishing. Birds were chirping. I mean, it was very vivid. Life comes forth from him. And as this river flowed out and came back to him, it gained the nutrients it needed to go back out across the earth and continue to nurture the earth. We are the body of Christ, and His Spirit flows through us and is to bring forth life. and to all we touch. But the key is that river continued to come back to the Lord for nourishment. We cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do this without returning to Him, because He is our source. He is the source of all we do. He is the reason we have life. He is the reason we are who we are today. He is the source. And if we don't return to the source on an ongoing basis, what comes out of us will cease to bring life. And I thought, wow, Lord, that was, wow. It shows our absolute dependence on Him to fulfill and to walk out our salvation and anything else we've been created to do. Everything we do stems from a true understanding of our salvation. The flow of the Spirit must continue on. Everything we do in His strength. Paul, as Mom has said, he's just a little guy, you know. But men feared him, because he walked in the power and the authority of God. Because God imparted the mysteries of intimacy into Paul. The Spirit of God functioned in him. He was created to release it and take the body of Christ into the next level in God. Personal intimacy with God. And he knew we would need it to make it through these times. This is a year of refining. You know, and I thought about that over the last week. I thought, Lord, the last decade or two have been pretty rough. But he said the refining, it's internal. It's a new level of refining he's doing. It's a refining of our mind. It's a refining of our heart. It's preparing us to walk in the fullness of what we've been created to walk in. This refining is internal, deeply internal, in areas many of us haven't experienced yet. But everything that we have experienced thus far has prepared us for this hour. All suffering is redemptive. When we endure affliction, submitting to God in the affliction, it's a sweet fragrance unto God. It's all beautiful. It's all precious. But what's taking place right now is deeper. Much deeper. And as it reveals those different layers, those different levels, I pray that He gives us the grace and that we have the faith to press on. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for the promises in Your Word. I thank You for bringing forth revelation in Your Word. I thank You for releasing the treasures, the mysteries of Your Word. I thank You for giving us the grace to embrace all that You are giving us right now, all that You are giving us in this hour. And help us, Lord, to allow it to do a deep, deep work in our lives, a deep, deep cleansing, a deep, deep purification, Lord. So that when we come through this, we can walk in the fullness of what we've been created to walk in. That we can represent our Savior in a way that touches those around us. In a way that melts the hearts of those around us. In a way that allows us to be a flow, a vessel for Your Spirit to flow through and impact. Bringing life. Bringing restoration. I mean, we're called to bring forth reformation in our nation. But that has to start from within. So let Your work be done, that we might bring forth reformation in our nation, Lord God. And I see, Lord, I see that the life that was coming was a reforming. It was a life. It was reformation. I see it now. Thank You, Lord. Prepare us to carry this call, Lord God. Prepare us, each of us, prepare us. Prepare us to let Your Spirit flow through and bring forth a reformation in our land. Just prepare us, Lord. That's my heart's cry. I thank You. I thank You, Lord. Thank You. Do Your work in us, Lord. Your precious name. Amen.